Welcome to episode one. This is Fourth and Wrong. Hopefully the genesis of something quite beautiful or something hideous that remains to be seen. I'm nervous as fuck. As Ricky Bobby once said, I already don't know what to do with my fucking hands. That's not the exact quote he had, but I don't know what to do with my fucking hands. My name is Aaron Charlotte. I'm going to be the host of your show, Fourth and Wrong. Hopefully we're going to be giving you some good fantasy advice. At the very least, we'll give you a giggle or two. My name is Aaron. I like long walks on the beach. I like fantasy football. I like the New England Patriots. Okay, if anybody's still left, I'll pass it over to my co-host here, Aiden Plumridge. How's it going, buddy?
Not bad. I'm Aiden. I also like long walks on the beach. Okay. And I fucking hate the New England Patriots, so I'm with you all there.
Let's go on a long walk on the beach together. What do you think?
I mean, in my dreams, maybe. Can we actually do that?
We got one more person in the room. My best friend here, Isaiah. He's on the keyboard. He's going to be our producer. What's going on, buddy?
Heyo.
He doesn't have a mic today, so for the remainder of this episode and probably the unforeseeable future, he will speak when spoken to. Let's jump right in. This episode, we're going to do our top five. So we're going to go through receivers, running backs, tight ends, quarterbacks, the work, defenses, the works. Just top fives. I don't know if I said that. Just top fives. So correction already. let's start with you, man. Who's your number one receiver for 2020 fantasy football?
No surprise here. The boy who just gets the most receptions ever, Michael Thomas. Opportunity equals success.
Yeah, he's my number one receiver too. Like, I think everybody in the fantasy league or fantasy world has Michael Thomas as number one. You made the argument for a couple other guys, but just the amount of targets he's going to see is like, how can you argue?
Opportunity equals success.
Exactly. Yeah. Who's number two?
Davante Adams.
Nice.
I like Davante Adams this year. He has the man, the GOAT, Aaron Rodgers, throwing him the football. He has an excellent O-line, giving him time to get open.
He does have a good O-line.
He's one of the top route runners in the league. His release is second to none. He's unbelievable. He's got a favorable matchup. According to what stats you're looking at, he's got the second easiest schedule in the league for difficulty for wide receivers. And then Aaron Jones has 17th ranked. So he has more difficulty. I think Davante Adams gets the ball.
I can't argue with that. Davante Adams is solid. My number two is a bit of a bolder pick. I got Tyreek Hill. You know, he's just an explosion waiting to happen every time he gets the fucking ball. This guy's insane. He's small. Everybody thinks, looks at him as one type of guy. Everybody thinks he's just, you know, the deep ball kind of guy, you know? And he is, and that's what he has been. To be fair, he's the best deep ball guy. He's also the fastest person in the fucking NFL. He's great. He plays with Patrick Mahomes throwing the football, who's the best player in the NFL. He's got Andy Reid, probably the best offensive coach in the NFL. There's a lot of things you can't really argue with him, and what I think is he's going to take a huge step forward this year. I think it's like the first time he's going to be running a full route tree. He's not going to be just doing nines. He's going to be doing 1 through 9, baby. And the number one receiver on Patrick Mahomes is fucking end of Patrick Mahomes' arm. I'm going to be down for that. He's capable. The thing I like about him, though, is he's capable of massive games. Like, I like a player in the first round that's going to get me, consistently 16 points a game. But I like a player more that's going to get me 5 weeks of over 25 points. He's going to fucking win me that week, guaranteed, no questions asked. Thank you. Take it to the bank. That's the guy I want, you know? And I'm okay with the games where he has 5 points or whatever. I can handle that. Also, I'm going to let everybody know, we haven't mentioned, these are all standard. We're doing standard rankings. Most of the people I know do standard fantasy football. Obviously, you can tweak it a little bit for PPR. I'd move Tyreek Hill down a little bit in PPR. I do love Davante Adams just as much as Aiden does, so I'd probably have him number two in PPR. But in standard, you can't fucking argue with Tyreek Hill, I think.
I agree with you. Patrick Mahomes just makes him super valuable.
Yeah.
I do think he's just, I love Tyreek Hill, but he's just not as good. His speed sets him apart, but as far as skill go, he's just not as good as like Michael Thomas or Davante Adams or the next guy that I'm going to bring up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Tyreek Hill.
Who's next guy?
Next guy is the man, the most talented wide receiver in the league, Julio Jones. He's physical. He's fast. He's strong. Just everything that you want in wide receiver, that is Julio Jones. And he has Matt Ryan throwing him the football.
Let me stop you there real quick. There was like one thing known for everybody.
Sure.
Everybody in this room are big fucking Julio guys. Okay? Julio Jones is fucking amazing. And anybody, he doesn't score enough touchdowns. Well, go fuck yourself. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. He's going to score touchdowns eventually. He's going to have double-digit touchdowns one of these years. And if he doesn't, I'll take the 1,400 passing or receiving yards that he's going to have. We're big Julio Jones guys. Sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to be known. We're leading the flag for how great Julio Jones is.
I agree with you. Since 2013, his lowest yardage was last year, and he had 1,394 yards.
Is that a fact?
That is a fact.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That is a fact. Julio Jones is amazing. Can't beat him.
I got Julio Jones at 4. Who I got at number 3 is Davante Adams. So to go over, I got Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, and then Julio Jones. Can't argue with anything you said about Davante Adams or Julio Jones. I'm with you. They're still in my top 5 receivers. My number 5 guy, though, is going to turn some fucking heads, all right? I got Kenny Golladay, number 5. Everybody's got DeAndre Hopkins, number 5. They think he's all in that tier. I'm not on the D-Hop train, okay? I'm going to talk about him later. We got a different segment going on later. So I won't get too high on why I hate DeAndre Hopkins, but I fucking hate DeAndre Hopkins. What I'm going with is Kenny Golladay, man. Matt Stafford was playing out of his fucking mind in 2019 before he got injured. Kenny Golladay was amazing with Matt Stafford, and then, he was amazing with Jeff Driskel and company. Like, they had terrible quarterback play, and he had almost 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns. I think he was, like, third in the league in receiving touchdowns. The yardage is going to go up, and he did all that on 65 receptions. Like, everybody else in the top 5 receivers here, besides Tyreek Hill, obviously, has a ton of receptions. Kenny Golladay isn't that guy, and I think he could be. You know, Detroit Lions, I think, are going to throw a ton. Their team's not going to be great. I got high hopes for Kenny Golladay. He's a guy I'm really high on this year. He's my number 5 wide receiver. Who's finishing off your list here?
I agree with you on Kenny Golladay. Yeah. I have him at 8, but I agree with you. With Matt Stafford throwing him the ball, I mean, what could go wrong?
Matt Stafford is wildly underrated. He's a baller. Yeah, like he chugs beer fast too, which I vibe with that. But
he wasn't on the Lions, man.
Detroit Lions fucking suck. Yeah, and I thought they did good. Yeah. As a Pats fan, I got high hopes for Matt Patricia as the head coach, and they are not good. To be fair, they play in a very hard division, though.
Yep.
Packers and Vikings have been fucking slow. And the Bears have been, obviously not good last season and a half, but before then, they were, like, historically great defensively.
Yep. So, and they got the Vikings in there. Vikings have a strong defense. Like,
fuck, as I'm saying this, I feel like I'm talking my way out of Kenny Golladay. But I got Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, I agree. At five, I got D-Hop. D-Hop is just incredible. He's in my top 3 skill receivers in the league for sure. And I like Kyler Murray this year. I like Kyler Murray. The only thing that really I don't like about DeAndre this year is that he's just going to have no time to practice with his team.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, he's just going to have no time to practice. And that's huge. So especially with like a younger team, maybe they mesh well from the beginning. Maybe they don't, but until we see, especially without a preseason, we don't know.
I agree with you. I'll talk more about how I feel about DeAndre Hopkins later on in the episode, but everything you said and more, I agree with you 100%. So that's our top 5 wide receivers. I hope you liked it. We're going on to running backs here. And right off the bat, there's a big one that jumps out at me. Most people, I would say 95 to 100% of the fantasy community has got Christian McCaffrey number 1. I had him last year. He's my darling. I love that boy. I would have children with him if it was feasible. And Aiden, you don't have Christian McCaffrey number 1. Who do you got?
I have the quads himself.
Quads.
Saquon Barkley.
Quads.
I didn't have Saquon Barkley last year, but I did have Saquon Barkley his rookie year when he was incredible. He was the number 1 overall player. I can't remember if it was in PPR or non-PPR. Todd Gurley had the title in one, Saquon had the title in the other.
I think Saquon had it in non-PPR that
year. Yeah. So, but Jason Garrett is his new OC. And Jason Garrett is coming from a team that had a star running back, and he gave that star running back a lot of touches.
Feed Zeke.
A lot of touches. And I just don't think the talent around Saquon Barkley is not as good as the talent that was around Ezekiel Elliott. So I think Saquon Barkley gets all of that rushing workload on top of being at least a top 3 receiving back in the league. Yeah. I love Saquon Barkley. If his O-line can play well, Saquon Barkley has more than enough potential to be the best running back in the league.
I can't, yeah, like, for starters, everything you said 100% is true. Like, I can't argue with anything that you said. And another thing about Christian McCaffrey that worries me is he's getting an entirely new coaching staff and a new quarterback in an offseason where you don't really want to have those things, you know? Yeah. Well, I got a burp on him on the claws. He's still my number one for sure. Saquon Barkley, everything you said about Jason Garrett's probably true, except for the fact that he didn't throw Ezekiel Elliott the ball. He just is coming out of college. Everybody said Ezekiel Elliott is capable out of the backfield. He's good. He's a good pass blocker. He's a good pass catcher. And they just didn't utilize him like that. I agree with what you said. I mean, obviously Ezekiel Elliott's been a top five running back every year he's been in the
rushing
league. Yeah, rushing.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if the reason Saquon Barkley could be number one is that he adds more value on the ground than Christian McCaffrey does, and close to as much value on through the air. And I just don't know if that's possible this season. I think Christian McCaffrey's still going to have close to 1,000 receiving yards.
Yep.
But that's neither here nor there. I got Christian McCaffrey number one. You got Saquon. I got Saquon number two. You have CMC number two. So flip-flop. Take your pick there. Number three, who you got?
Zeke. He's been the best rusher in the league since he came in. He's super consistent. Over 1,000 yards every season. The guy's an animal. The guy's an animal. He lowers his shoulder. He runs through everybody. I love Zeke. And he's on a juggernaut offense. The guy's incredible.
The thing I think about Ezekiel Elliott, just because of what I said before, he's been a top five fantasy running back in standard, and I'm pretty sure in PPR as well. Every year he's been in the league. Every year he's been in the league, points per game, he's been top five. But he's never been top one. I don't even think he's been top two.
I think he was his rookie season, was he not?
Was he number one? Isaiah, I think he was. That's another question for you. I don't know if we'll be able to find out if he was number one. I think he was. Whatever. The point I'm trying to make is I don't think Ezekiel Elliott is going to finish number one, two. I don't even think he finishes number three necessarily. I just think he's guaranteed to be top five. He's one of the safest picks other than Saquon and Christian McCaffrey. His floor is unbelievably high. Even though he's getting a new head coach in Mike McCarthy this year.
That does scare me.
That does. But they have the same offensive coordinator though. And I think that means they committed to what they were doing the last couple
of years. The only reason Mike McCarthy scares me is because of what happened with Aaron Jones in the Packers offense. But at the same time, it's Ezekiel Elliott. Like, you can't deny the man's talent.
Facts.
That's it.
I got Ezekiel Elliott number three, too. So, obviously, same brain mentality there. We actually have the same number four as well, Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook also had him last season. That's right. You heard it, right? I had Christian McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook and lost.
Hold on real quick. Did you win?
No, who won? Aiden?
Oh, I won. Right.
It was really tough.
Six seed?
We play in a 12-team league, and six teams make playoffs. I was number one and was number one all season. I dominated. My team was fucking nasty. Tyler Lockett, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. How you doing? And then to end the season, we had 2 6 seeds in the championship because I shit the bed in the first round or second round of playoffs. My friend Liam shit the bed in the first round of playoffs. And we had 2 6 seeds in the championship for playing for $1,000. It was heartbreaking to watch my team have to fall so early and not win a championship yet again. And even more heartbreaking to live with the champ.
I might be a little biased here, but I had a lot of fun. Lamar Jackson, thank you for carrying my fantasy football team all season. I love you
We haven't mentioned this yet, and I it sounds like a good time to bring it in here. Isaiah and Aiden are both Baltimore Raven fans, and Lamar Jackson is a fantasy superstar. So I'll give you guys both 10 seconds to just have a little Lamar Jackson moment here.
So-hoo! Lamar Jackson is probably the best player in the league. Number one on the top 100, baby. Fuck the Eagles. Carson Wentz not even on there.
Big trust.
Lamar Jackson on there. Hanging his jersey in my room. Never coming down.
He doesn't even put it on. What a fucking bullshit fan. He's just sitting on his lawn the whole time. All right. Now that we had our little Lamar Jackson moment, I don't know how many seconds it was, but it was too many seconds for me. I love Lamar Jackson too, but I can only talk about the fucking guy so much. We're going to go back to Dalvin Cook. I had him last year. He's amazing. He produces on the... He's the last running back I find in the top couple there that produces as much through the air as he does on the ground. Everybody else is like, oh, he's a really good running back. Like, he gets a lot of yards on the ground, like Nick Chubb, Joe Mixon, who does a little bit in receiving, but he's more of a runner. Josh Jacobs, those kind of guys. And then you've got Alvin Kamara, who does like a lot in the receiving game, but doesn't do nearly as much in the rushing game. But Dalvin Cook is the last like three-down back. I was worried about him not playing this year because he just has a contract holdout. All signs are pointing towards he's probably going to play. He showed up for his COVID test, came out COVID negative. How you doing? We haven't also talked about COVID yet. It's been the big elephant in the room, and it's massive. Dalvin Cook, same offense as last year.
Exactly.
They're going to get him the ball 100,000 times. He's
produced. And they've lost Stephon Diggs.
And
Who knows what Justin Jefferson is going to bring to the offense?
It's true. I hope it means he could open him up. Yeah.
And Dalvin Cook can catch. Yeah. He's not irrelevant in the passing game. He's not, you know, I wouldn't say he's an excellent receiving back, but he's not irrelevant. So
durability is a concern, but
yeah,
one thing about injuries that doesn't actually get talked about that much is when a player's, I'd rather a player get injured than a player play bad. When a player gets injured, I just know I can't play him. I'm not playing him. He's got a broken injury. If a player's playing shitty every single week, you're like, hey, this is the fucking week. He's going to have 3 touchdowns.
Joe Mixon last year.
Like everybody has that player. So I drafted him super high. He's a 3rd-round pick. You can't drop him. You can't not play him, but you shouldn't play him. It's a tough fucking world. And I don't even know where I was going with that, but that's how I feel. We got Derrick Henry, number 5. I was flip-flopping between Derrick Henry, 5 and 4, and Dalvin Cook. Derrick Henry does absolutely nothing in the passing game. Nothing. He might now because he doesn't really have any fucking... Like, who's in the... Darrington Evans is their RB2. Never heard of him. Maybe he's like a flash in the pan. I don't know. But doesn't do anything in the receiving game. But he's not. That's not really what we want him to do.
I know.
He's going to probably lead the league in rushing yards. And chance he leads the league in rushing touchdowns. And every single year, I'm like, Derrick Henry smells like shit.
Yeah.
And at the end of the year, he looks like fucking roses, buddy. He's sick. Last year, our buddy Vince, he's going to hear this. And he's not our best fantasy football player in our league. But kid's got a lot of fucking heart, all right? Last year, he drafted...
A lot of brain damage.
Drafted Derrick Henry in the 1st round, and we all laughed at him right to his fucking face. And boy, were we wrong on that one.
Yeah, it was incredible.
I don't think it got him the playoffs, but it did get him a told you so out of us. But,
I like Derrick Henry. I think he takes on kind of like what Baltimore did last year, where he's just like, they have the run, and then they have the deep ball with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of his role.
But
Brown is on
Derrick Henry. I'm not gonna get too much. We all know what Derrick Henry is. If he can find like even a little bit of a role in the passing game, though, and I just mean like fucking 15 more receptions. Like he had, let me look it up here. He had 18 receptions last year for 206 yards and 2 touchdowns. But 18 receptions is not good. Yeah. If he had even 30, like we're talking about moving him up 2 more spots, maybe another receiving touchdown. I don't know. Derrick Henry, I'm a big fan of him this season. I think he's still a top 5 running back. You finish off your running backs here. You got number 5.
I got Alvin Kamara coming off of what seemed to be a downtick in a year, but still I think he either had 1,200 or 1,300 all-purpose yards, and he didn't play every game. Like, he's a dual threat. He's up in the tier of the CMC, the Saquon Barkley in receiving. He has Drew Brees throwing him the football. When he does get thrown the football, I get that Michael Thomas takes a lot of those shares.
Isaiah, but, not cool. Go on. We all know you heard that. Boing. Go on.
And he has an elite O-line to run behind. The Saints O-line is incredible. Latavius Murray. But Latavius Murray is there.
Fucking good.
He's good, but he's not Alvin Kamara. And we've seen in the past that Alvin Kamara...
Can I fact check that? No, you're right.
Go for the fact check.
All right.
And we've seen it before. 2 years ago when Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram were both top 10 running backs.
I knew you were going to fucking say
that. So, bring up Latavius Murray again, buddy guy.
Yeah, I can't. Alvin Kamara is still a top 10 running back. And like
Sean Payton is his coach. Like,
he just doesn't get rushing yards, bro. He's never had over 1,000 rushing yards, I don't think. Like, that's a problem.
But his rookie year, he had 750. That's what I mean. He's a dual threat guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to harp on you with this. I just, I don't know. I don't fucking agree with Alvin Kamara, man. Like,
that's fine.
I like him. The wild card with him is he could score a lot of touchdowns. But his rookie season, he had like 2 or 3, like, kick return touchdowns, punt return touchdowns. And I know that's like, oh, whatever, he's a super talented, he's getting, but he doesn't get those anymore. And like, I don't know. I like Alvin Kamara. I think he's super talented, and he plays on a really good offense, and the fact that he can, like, have a role just as a slot receiver if he wanted goes a long way, especially with Drew Brees throwing the ball. But
we'll touch on this a little bit later. But Alvin Kamara broke my fucking heart last year. I traded for him in a league that won. It was half point PPR, and I was scored 135 plus points on me per game. That is insane. Nobody, half point PPR.
And nobody wants to hear about your fantasy.
Wolves. And Alvin Kamara broke my heart, and I'm still this high on him because he's that incredible of a player.
Hey, he's got a sick fucking nose ring too, buddy.
Yeah, he's fucking sick.
His balance is nuts.
Put some respect up on his name, bro. His balance
is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And now we're at quarterbacks, and it looks like we're at the second 10-second moment. To give you guys
my boy at number one. Woo-hoo! Yeah. I got Lamar Jackson as my number one quarterback this year. I don't think this is even a surprise. If you watch football, like, what the hell are we talking about? He puts up RB1 numbers as a quarterback. And we all play fantasy. Rushing yards, rushing touchdowns mean more than QB throwing yards and passing touchdowns. They're just more points. He's got one of the easiest schedules in the NFL this year. Just every his O-line is talented. He had both of his tackles were in the Pro Bowl last year. He did lose Marshall Yanda, which is a big loss, but...
Big loss.
But...
Big no trust.
Still an elite O-line. They've added some good, fast rookie receivers. And you can only really expect him to progress in his passing ability. From year one to year two, it was an incredible leap. And I can only see that going even higher from year two to year three. Love Lamar Jackson.
Oh, hearing about this fucking guy all offseason. Yeah, he's fucking good. He runs really incredible. Fucking fast. He can throw... Decent.
Pretty good. 36 touchdowns.
Yeah. Passing. He's good. The kid's good. I can't take anything from him. Even his last season was, we've never seen anything like that. It's never happened. Everyone's like, oh, he's the next Mike Vick. Nah, I'm the only Lamar Jackson. He's fucking awesome. Work harder. I don't think, like, that's not replicable, bro. Like, he's not getting 1,200 yards rushing again. He's just not.
Good.
He's not. And he's I'm worried enough. About, I'm worried about, okay, so he's, say what you want. He wasn't like a great passer last year. He had a lot of passing touchdowns, but you know that's because of like the defenses were worried about his rushing. He had a lot of like deep throw touchdowns. Like I can't take those away from him, but he didn't wow as a passer last year. And I'm worried about his progression from year two to year three when we've got COVID. Bump, bump, bah. The thing we haven't talked about in the room. Like they're gonna get limited practice in the offseason. They're getting no preseason. Like everybody's development this year is going to be a little bit stunted, but I'm worried about Lamar Jackson's passing development. If defenses can find a way to figure him out, man, like if they find a way to make him not rush at least 100 yards a game, you know, like if he's only doing 50, he's all of a sudden not as valuable as a quarterback. He's still going to be sick though. Like I have him number two, so I can't say anything, but I got Patrick Mahomes number one, man. That's my boy. That's the best player in football, ? Like,
yep. He's the best quarterback in football.
Does he play on, like, the best offense almost? Like, I know the Dallas Cowboys have a good offense, but, like, his team's sick, dude. And his coach is sick. They just won the Super Bowl. There's so few of things to find negative about him. The only thing I can think of is a starting guard, our boy Duvernay Tardif, our Canadian boy. We're Canadian, by the way. What's up? What's going on? How you doing, eh? But he's not playing. He opted out so he can work in the hospital. He's a doctor. It's pretty badass. But like,
yeah, it is pretty sick.
I think he has a legit 50-50 shot at having 40 plus touchdowns. Like there's a 50% chance Patrick Mahomes has 40 touchdowns or more. That's a lot of tutties, man. And like, I just think his floor is higher than Lamar Jackson's. That being said, I don't know if I'm going to draft either of these guys. I love both of them. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, but at their current draft value, I'm just not getting them in any of the mock drafts I've had.
I'm genuinely I'm thinking about reaching for Lamar Jackson. Here's a quick little stat for you. Who do you think completion percentage wise was better last year, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes? And obviously, I brought it up so you know, Lamar Jackson had a higher completion percentage than Patrick Mahomes and even Aaron Rodgers.
Blah blah blah.
So yeah. Lamar Jackson is the man. Draft him.
I like Lamar Jackson. I would love him if I lived in any other fucking house. Let's go on from that. I got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Lamar number ones.
Yeah, and then we've just switched to that. I've got Patty at two, obviously.
That being said, like if I draft Lamar Jackson, I could convince myself to take Lamar Jackson as the number one quarterback.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. You agree with me. I think we're good. Number three, Dak Prescott. I think we both have Dak. Yeah, we do. Who? Tell me about Dak. What do you think?
I love Dak. He's playing for a contract this year. He threw again. for over again. He got franchise tagged. He's playing for a contract. He threw for
4 years. Not fine.
Almost 5K yards and 30 touchdowns.
I know.
And they just brought in a nice looking rookie. My favorite rookie in this draft was CD Lamb, and he is now part of the juggernaut Dallas Cowboys. I kind of hate that because, like,
fuck the Cowboys.
Yeah, fuck the Cowboys.
Fuck you, Tabby. You know who you are.
Have fun going fucking 9-7. But, like, still, I love Dak Prescott. They've got a favorable schedule. We'll touch on another guy later. He's throwing to Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CD. You just can't hate it. You gotta love Dak, and he's mobile. Like he's not known as a rushing quarterback, but he could. He can rush.
Yeah. I think there's a chance. He has like 5 rushing touchdowns or something. Yeah, that's his value.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dak. Man, when players.
And let's just say this: elite offensive line. Yeah. Very good offensive line.
They have the best offense in the league now. Yes. With CeeDee Lamb, they don't have a tight end. That's the only position they're not great at. Amari Cooper's a great receiver.
Yeah, I agree.
CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup are great wide receiver too. I don't know who's your wide receiver too, but they're both great. Their O-line is amazing. Dak Prescott's amazing.
Yeah.
Everybody makes fun of Dak, man. Ever since he came out with that fucking dance.
The lip, buddy. The lip gyration.
He's been like, everybody like regards him as like, he's greedy. Yeah, he's greedy. He wants to get paid, baby. Wait, Isaiah's telling me to do something. I need to talk more with it. Louder, quieter. Directly at the microphone. If you guys didn't hear me, I apologize. Dak Prescott slaps. I like him. But yeah, everything that Aiden just said, I agree with. He's playing for money and he seems to like money a lot.
Yeah. Well, I agree. Guys should get paid. He's seeing everyone around him get paid. He wants to get paid. I'm not mad at it. If I was Dak Prescott, I would want a bunch of money too.
I bet you as soon as Patrick Mahomes signed his contract, Dak Prescott, you'd think Dak Prescott would be happy. Because he's like, oh, he just reset the market. Whatever. Dak Prescott woke up. He's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Now I have to ask for more money. Guy's greedy, but I think he's good at fucking
at
football.
The same time, if he plays well this year, the Cowboys they're got exactly what they wanted. They got him for 5 years. Like, why? Like, just sign for that $35 million and just play.
If he plays, you're still on the franchise tag. Exactly. And then they give him the 4-year contract that he wants because he plays well. But if he plays too good, he's going to want more, man.
I guess. But at the same time, I guess.
That's true, though. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. Like, he's basically on a 4-year or 5-year contract with the franchise.
Especially if he's sticking with the Dallas Cowboys, which it sounds like he wants to.
All right. My number four?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, baby. Man, the first like 5 years this guy was in the league, I used to just trash on him so hard. I'd be like, this guy's a fucking game manager. He's the best game manager in the league. Our good friend Matthew Newell. He'll say the same thing. Like he's a big Seahawks fan. We had a good Super Bowl when Malcolm Butler intercepted him at the goal line. How you doing? Woo! But
run the football.
run the football. Yeah, he was a game manager the first couple of years in the league, I thought, and now like the last 5 seasons, he's been MVP caliber every year. He hasn't missed a game in 8 seasons.
Yep,
that's fucking nuts. He has not missed one game in 8 seasons. I think it's the year the Seahawks finally let him loose, man. He has the best receiving core he's ever had in his career. I'm a big fan of DK Metcalf. I'm a big fucking fan of DK Metcalf. DK. And Tyler Lockett, big fucking fan of him too. I think they're going to be really good. He doesn't throw interceptions. By the way, he's got legs and they work really good.
He can extend the play like nobody else.
Like nobody else. And he, like,
slippery little snake. Yeah,
he had 3 rushing touchdowns last year. If you told me he has 6 this year, I wouldn't be surprised. He's solid. Like, Russell Wilson's really good. I don't think Russell Wilson finishes top 3, but I think it's very, very, very unlikely he does not finish top 5. He's one of the safest picks other than the top 2 guys. Dak Prescott's a little more riskier, has a bit of a higher ceiling, I think, just because of the offense surrounding him. But Russell Wilson, man, I also think, like, you're not going to want to hear this because I know you're super high on Chris Carson, but I think this is the year that Russell Wilson is finally let loose. Like, they've been a running team every year he's been in the league, pretty much. I think it's the year that's like, go get MVP, dog. Big ups. You're fucking Ciara and you're having kids and shit. Like, I think you should win an MVP. What were you saying? You were mad about this the other day. He's never had an MVP vote or something like that. What was the stat?
I wasn't mad about that. I just think that this year is his, like, right now, Russell Wilson, even as a Lamar Jackson fan, Russell Wilson is my favorite for MVP. And he's never even had an MVP vote. Last year, he got fucked. Lamar Jackson, unanimous MVP, baby, let's go. But he should have. There was an argument there for him to at least get a couple votes. Russell Wilson was incredible last year. He's incredible every year. For a long time, the Seahawks were on his back.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever had a losing season. Actually, that is a fact. He's never had a losing season.
Yeah.
And he's never really had an elite offensive. Well, he has, but he hasn't had an elite offensive line in a while. So
I love Russell Wilson. Offense in a while.
I agree. Yeah,
like he hasn't. What's the best receiver he's ever played with? Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, Doug Baldwin was his favorite. He played with Golden Tate for a while.
Golden Tate's solid, but like these aren't amazing guys, man.
No,
not at all. Like he's never had like an X receiver either. He's always had little guys. I don't know if that's like Pete Carroll's thing.
I guess he had Josh Gordon for a little bit, but we all know that guy. That guy likes
his fucking Josh weed. Gordon.
Stay off the weed. No, man. Except for now because it's legal.
He's been like out of... It's only ever been weed. He got suspended once because he violated the substance abuse policy because he drank one beer on the plane home after losing his 16th game in a row for the Browns. They lost every game that season. He drank a fucking brewski on the way home ski. And they said, nah, dog, you ain't playing again. And then when he played again, he's like, I'm on the reefer. Yeah. And they said, nah, you ain't playing again. And then he's on the reefer again. You ain't playing again. Oh, by the way, reefer's legal in the NFL now, but you're still not playing.
Yeah, literally a couple months
Man,
after.
Man, they actually ruined that guy's career. He's amazing.
Josh Gordon is
amazing. Josh Gordon is amazing.
A little off topic, but yeah, Josh Gordon.
Yeah, like they here. Fucked him. Moving forward, my number four. Wait, you said your number four, right?
I haven't. At number four, I have Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Deshaun Watson is...
Talk your shit.
He's magical. He just is. He can just extend the play. He's like Russell Wilson in the way that he can just get away. Like, he's slippery. Like, you just can't get him on the ground. He can rush. We saw it last year. He can even catch a touchdown. Deshaun Watson is sick. The only thing that affects him is his O-line. They don't really have a good O-line. But with the and he lost Hopkins. But they added a guy that I will also be talking about later. They added Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has been good on every team that he's ever gone to. He's had 1,000-yard seasons for every team that he's gone to. He has a good connection with Will Fuller. If Will Fuller can stay healthy, Deshaun Watson, big things coming.
Big things.
Big things.
I got Deshaun Watson 5. Yeah, definitely can. That play that he had in the playoffs against the Bills.
Yeah.
When the two guys came and collided with him and then he span off of it. Like, Lamar Jackson was amazing last season.
Yeah.
That play that he against the Bills, in that moment, it was fourth quarter in a playoff game. Like, that's like the best highlight of last season, honest to God. Like, that was nuts.
Got kicked in the fucking eye, kept playing.
Oh, yeah. And through they said that he's like, oh, the reason that I touched my eye after I got kicked in is I wanted to make sure it was still there.
Yeah.
Okay, humble brag, buddy. Like, I don't think that's true. But
Michael Jordan. Watson,
I can't argue with Deshaun Watson. He's my number five. Like,
of the NFL, apparently. But yeah.
By the way, off topic again, but Deshaun Watson's girlfriend is so fucking hot. Oh, dude, I would suck a fart out of that chick's ass. No joke.
Chill out, Charlamagne.
Oh, whatever. Am I the only one that eats ass?
I mean,
all right. Moving forward, we're down to quarterbacks now. Our quarterbacks are pretty much the same. We like swapped for 1 and 2 and swapped for 3 and 4, but I think our 4 and 5. But this year, I think can't really go wrong with quarterbacks. But before I start on the tight ends, I would say I don't usually reach on quarterbacks or tight ends. My draft strategy is usually grab a bunch of running backs at the beginning, grab a bunch of receivers in the middle, and then figure it out for whatever's best for your quarterback, defense, tight end, all that shit.
I agree with you, but I think that there is value in thinking about reaching for Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes just because Lamar Jackson averaged over 27 points per game last season. Like, incredible. He literally carried me to a championship. So...
Somehow I was talking about moving on to tight ends and we still ended up on fucking Lamar Jackson.
The man, the myth.
But I agree. Like, there is something to be said about Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. But that being said, I haven't had any of my top five quarterbacks in any draft I've done besides Deshaun Watson. Seems like people can be sleeping on Deshaun Watson a little bit. Maybe Dak Prescott, but just like at their value right now, I'd rather have a running back or receiver for the most part. Everybody's different.
And that's it all depends on how your draft goes, right? Like, maybe you have no one on the board that you like.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson there, Patrick Mahomes is there, take him.
So, my point was, though, is I don't usually reach for tight ends and quarterbacks, but this year, man, Yeah. Tight ends are juicy as fuck. And by juicy as fuck, I mean there's two and the rest of them are just guys, kind of. But Travis Kelce and George Kittle.
I disagree with that, but yeah. I see what you're saying.
Travis Kelce and George Kittle are both like just the bee's knees, man. I got Travis Kelce 1.
Yeah.
And George Kittle 2. I think you have the same, right?
Yep, I have the exact same. Just to touch on it quickly, Travis Kelce is probably the best offensive tight end.
We got an argument. We got an argument about this the other night, actually.
And I agree with you now, actually. George Kittle all around is probably a better tight end, but Travis Kelce is probably more effective at scoring points.
Yeah, okay. I can't take that away from you, Travis. Yeah. And what I'll say is I think George Kittle could be a better receiving tight end, and that remains to be seen because Travis Kelce plays for the Chiefs, yeah, and George Kittle plays for the 49ers.
Jimmy Garoppolo. No.
Was he ranked on the top 100? Something fucked.
Yeah, it was a joke.
Jimmy Garoppolo was on the top 50, I think.
So was Josh Allen.
And
was in top,
Matt
was
Ryan wasn't. Hold on, I got to burp again. That's fucked.
That is super fucked.
Matt Ryan is Matty solid. Ridiculous. Anyways. You like Travis Kelce. You like George Kittle. I like George Kittle. Yep. I wasn't planning on talking about either of these two guys, but this is the only year where I'm thinking about moving up and drafting them, and I mean drafting them higher than their ADP. I don't usually draft. I've only had a tight end twice. Jimmy Graham fucked me. Rob Gronkowski did all right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean a tight end in the first two rounds is what I was trying to say. But
yeah.
I'm really thinking about Travis Kelce or George Kittle, man. Like the amount of more points they give you at the tight end position compared to the rest of the field, yeah, is like, you can't ignore it.
I agree with that.
They're another receiver. They're another skill position, man. It's hard. It sucks because getting Travis Kelce or getting George Kittle usually means losing an RB2,
yeah,
or a wide receiver 1. Like it's one of your starter big positions.
But the thing about Travis Kelce is he's putting up wide receiver 1 numbers.
No, and like George Kittle,
he is a wide receiver 1, yeah, in a tight end slot.
And like, the thing about George Kittle is he is by far above and beyond. Like, you can talk about how much the 49ers pass the ball, but he is the best pass catcher on that team by far.
Yeah.
So like, they both have reasons you could put 1 and 2 there. I got Darren Waller 3, man. Let's go Las Vegas Raiders. Let's go John Gruden. I love Gruden, for starters, and Gruden loves Waller. Everybody watched Hard Knocks last year. They know that, yeah, Waller the Baller was everybody's big, fantasy sleeper, da, 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 and boy, did he break out. Holy shit. The guy was addicted to drugs 2 years ago and now had 1,200 yards and 3 touchdowns on 90 receptions. Yeah. They threw him the ball a fucking lot, man. Henry Ruggs is there. I think that opens up the middle big time, yeah, because of how fast Henry Ruggs is. Josh Jacobs, I love him too. He's a running back that's going to, again, open up the passing game. I love Darren Waller this year. He's my 3. A lot of people have Mark Andrews here, including yourself. You can talk about him in a second, try to convince me otherwise. But, man, Darren Waller just gets so many receptions. So many receptions. They throw him the ball so many times. And you just don't find that that kind of usage with any other tight end.
Darren Waller used to be addicted to drugs, and now he's addicted to being a fucking baller.
Baller
alert, Darren Waller. But yeah, like you said, at 3, I've got something different. I got Mark Andrews. I'm a Baltimore fan, if you haven't heard yet. Lamar Jackson is his quarterback, and it's his favorite target. He's getting red zone target after red zone target after red zone target. He's young. He's talented. I just can't say anything bad about him. He's playing for the hottest team in the NFL heading into 2020. He's a beast. He's an animal. He's got diabetes. Yeah.
You said you can't say anything bad about him. Like, diabetes.
I mean, we can't just be saying somebody has diabetes isn't bad.
My grandpa had diabetes. I loved him. R.I.P. Ron.
That was a sad moment. That changed the whole ambiance.
Just a little side note, but this is our first episode, obviously, and it took us a long time to get it set up. It was like 2.5 hours to actually get going here. And we had to really set the ambiance of the room, and that became our keyword of the day. But right now the ambiance is fucking beautiful, man.
It's a little hot.
I'm zendered right out. All right. 4, I got Mark Andrews. You just talked about him.
Yep.
He's good. The only problem I have Mark Andrews, man, he doesn't get a lot of receptions. He doesn't get a lot of targets. I get that's like Baltimore's shtick.
Yeah.
But his 10 touchdowns came off of Lamar Jackson's unsustainable passing touchdowns. Like, there's no way he has that many passing touchdowns this year, which means there's no way Mark Andrews has that many receiving touchdowns. Especially if Hollywood Brown breaks out, man. Like, I like Hollywood Brown this year. I think you do too.
I love Hollywood. Yeah.
So, like, I mean,
I'm intrigued.
I don't know. He was the 1 pass catcher, but maybe he's not, you know? And if he's not, that really affects his value this season, especially on a team that doesn't throw that much to start.
The thing that I like about Mark Andrews is even if he doesn't get as many receptions, the people that they have at wide receiver are not red zone guys. They're deep ball guys. All of them are speed guys, with the exception of Willie Snead. But
he's still like not really a
He's more of a slants guy now for the Ravens. But
is that guy even in the league?
What's up?
Is that guy even in the league?
99% sure he's in the Ravens. anyways, so he's obviously not ranked. but yeah, no, Mark Andrews is still going to be getting the red zone targets. That's what I like about him. But at number four, I have Zach Ertz. Incredible tight end. He's up there with, he's not quite at that Travis Kelce, George Kittle level, but he's right beneath it in skill. He's the only pass catcher for the Eagles that he had even close to 1,000 yards last year. He had a little over 900, and the next guy down was Dallas Goedert. So at 607 yards. So
is that a fact?
That is a fact. Their third guy was Miles Sanders. Yeah.
Who was their highest receiving receiver?
Alshon Jeffrey. I think he had like 500 yards, maybe a little under 500 yards.
We need Alshon Jeffrey's stats last
year. Actually, I have it right. I think I have it up right now.
This is the first time we've called on Isaiah. He was texting. What are we not paying this guy
for? give me that twisted tea I gave you right back. You don't deserve it. But yeah, no, that is a fact. They're top two guys for both tight ends. It doesn't
matter who the number one receiver was. That was just more of a tidbit. But yeah, that's fucked. I did not know that. Their three number one receivers last season weren't receivers.
We're two tight ends and a running back. And Miles Sanders isn't known for being like a catching running back. Like he's good, but he's not like. But yeah, no, Zach Ertz, clearly Carson Wentz's favorite target. And Carson Wentz slings that ball. He throws a lot. Oh, so
how much did that hurt for you to say that?
I fucking hate the Eagles. Let's just address that now. I hope, that ginger fuck can't keep his band-aids off his knees. But yeah, no, fuck. Zach Ertz is a baller. I can't deny it. It sucks that he plays for such a shitty team.
He's their best pass catcher.
Yeah.
DeSean Jackson's on the team now, but
he's aging. He's old.
Everybody said in offseason, though, that he, he's been, like, killing it. Like, he's so fast, hasn't lost a step. One thing we find about him, though, is he doesn't really like Jews. So
Jesus Christ. Well, but, yeah.
I like Jews. I'm not saying I don't like Jews, but that's a fact. Hey, man, listen. The quote that he quoted was like, it was questionable for sure.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, who said it? Hitler?
It wasn't Hitler? No.
Why was it quoted? It was quoted in his like Instagram story as it was Hitler that said it. So it wasn't Hitler and he made it worse by making it Hitler.
Hold on. Let me just address this real quick. I don't remember asking you, Isaiah.
Apparently Isaiah knows more about football than I do now. Fucking this just in. I'm just kidding, buddy.
But yeah, no. Move it on. Who do you got at number five?
Evan Engram, man. Everybody hates this, but like he's so talented.
Yeah.
Every year though, it's been three seasons now, and every single season they're like, this is the year, man. Evan Engram's really fucking good, man. He's really fucking good. He's either really good or made of glass or both. But like he's solid. Like I think he's good. I think Daniel Jones is gonna take a huge step forward. Everything you said about the Giants having Jason Garrett, apply that here too. Yep. Like Jason Garrett developed Dak Prescott into what he is. Like, can't fucking argue that. Also had Tony Romo for a bit. Can't fucking argue that either. Yep. He's pretty good developing quarterbacks. The coaching staff loves Evan Engram. He might be their best pass catcher. I love Sterling Shepard.
I would agree with that.
But like Evan Engram's good. Evan Engram was good. I'm banking on the fact that he has talent. But I think after four, like I have Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Mark Andrews. After that, I even think Zach Ertz isn't that good just because he is the number one pass catcher. I think he's going to get a lot of attention. Defense is going to be on him. Carson Wentz, you think he's good. Well, you hate him, but you think he's good. I don't think he's that good.
Good. I think he's a product of having to throw a bunch of footballs because the fucking Eagles suck. But
my point being, after the top four, there's just guys. You can just plug and play whoever you want. Like, there's the tight end is such a mess after the top two, really. Tight end is so unpredictable.
Honestly, the one thing I do like about the Giants offense is that the guys surrounding, obviously Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley are the best players in that offense, but I think the guys around them are just talented enough that it takes defensive attention away from those guys just a little bit. Like, you can't just disregard those guys completely. They're just good enough. They're going to take some attention off your stars. And I love Evan Engram. I love him. He's not my top five, but I do love him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have Darren Waller at five. We already talked on him. So yeah, no, ballers.
Ballers. Defense. Oh.
Yeah. So no surprise here.
Yeah. Who's your number one defense?
Baltimore fucking Ravens. Yeah. Baltimore fucking Ravens. They have the best secondary in the league. You can't really argue with it. Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Earl Thomas. Nasty fucking trio. Absolutely nasty. They added Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe to their offensive line. Like, and Matt Judon is playing for a contract this year. Their edge rusher. So sacks and picks equal points. And that's what Baltimore is going to give you. They're an aggressive defense. They're going for those sacks. They're going for those tackles. They're going to get you points.
Baltimore's my number two, and they're good because they give what you just said. They give you those sacks, interceptions, touchdowns. Yeah. Like, they score.
Yeah, and so they've always been a defense team. Like, that's,
and so does another team, though, man. That's the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, I'm going to preface something before I start talking about it, though. Like, when I'm drafting a defense, usually it's in the second last round or third last round if I'm reaching for a defense, which is unlikely. But I'm drafting for the beginning of the season. I'm not drafting for their full season. I don't look at their full season schedule. I look at who they're playing first five, six, four, whatever, first couple weeks. After that, I'll drop them. I'll stream somebody. Like, I just want looking for production right off the bat. Matt, are you ready for the first 5 weeks of the 49ers?
Okay? I'm ready. Give it to me, baby.
Cardinals week one against Kyler Murray. Yep. We'll see. Jets, Giants, Eagles, and Dolphins. Nobody scares me, bro. Nobody scares me at all. They're playable every week. Yeah. I think they'd probably be the number one ranked defense every one of those weeks going into those weeks. Like, yeah, I think quarterback's scaring me there. Carson Wentz is aye, but like, I don't know, man. The Niners are great. Nick Bosa.
Yeah. Honestly, the most scary offense that you just mentioned is Arizona.
It's Arizona, and they play them week one.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that doesn't do... I don't know, man. I love the 49ers. The schedule gets a lot tougher after week five. But like I just said, man, I'll drop them or I'll bench them or I'll whatever. Like, I'm cool with just 5 weeks of production, and then I'll figure it out after that, you know?
And these two defenses are... Kind of goes without saying. These two defenses are not the guys that you're stringing along, right? They're not the way... You're not using these guys for a specific amount of time. These are your all-season defenses.
Yeah, if you're drafting
these guys, you're sticking with them. Yeah. Like, that's just how it is.
True. That's the other shitty thing is they cost a spot then all season. Yeah. They cost the fucking...
It costs,
if they're yeah, playing they cost the Saints spot. Or they're yep. playing even, like, the Bucs or something, like, you're probably not playing them and they're going to be on your bench and they cost a spot on your bench that could be for another skill position. So that's the kind of shitty thing about playing them. Another thing I'll say with the 49ers, though, is, like, last year, like, Patriots were going bananas at the beginning of the season. Their defense was, they had a top five defense. It wasn't top one defense. The reason they were going bananas is because they had a great schedule. They're playing shitty teams. When you play shitty teams,
easy schedule, you score a lot of points. No big deal.
Talking about the Pats for 2 fucking seconds. I gotta listen to the Lamar Jackson hype train go on full fucking swing all goddamn summer. Feel like I'm in a fucking coal mine. Just the train going nonstop. I get, dude, I mean, Cam Newton, though.
I'm turning around on them. They might be a playoff team.
We don't care. You know why? Because we're gonna have the fourth ranked defense this year.
Oh no, you don't. Well, first of all, let's not skip over our third ranked defenses. We both have the same.
Yeah, I got. Okay, so we have Ravens. I have Niners. Ravens. You have Ravens. Niners. Yep. Who's your number three?
Pittsburgh Steelers. We're the same on this. Yeah. They had a really good season last year. The only thing that I will say is the touchdowns that Minka Fitzpatrick specifically was scoring all fucking season for them, that's going to have some regression.
No chance that goes fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Steelers are great. They're going to have a good defense. They play the Ravens twice a year. That sucks. They play the Browns twice a year. The Browns have what seems to be, what could be a high-powered offense this year. I like the Steelers. I like their defense, but they just don't have that same schedule that the Ravens do.
I feel like the Steelers are, like, they're just, like, everybody on the Steelers defense is good. Nobody's like amazing.
Yeah.
And I think Fitzpatrick's really good, but like, I don't know. Like
Joe Hayden played amazing last year. He's aging. Like he's going to regret like all these people. I will say TJ Watt is incredible. Incredible. But yeah, no. The Steelers are good.
Dude, what, okay, so would you rather birth the Boses or birth the Watts?
Oh, that's a tough one.
They're like, I know.
Because here's the thing. I love JJ Watt. There's three jerseys hanging in my room. One is Lamar Jackson, one is Ray Lewis, and one is JJ Watt. So I love JJ Watt. I would probably go with the Watt brothers, but the Bosa brothers, man, if they can keep it up. I love.
Are the Kelce's up there in the sibling rankings of the NFL?
No, fuck the Kelce's. One of them plays for the Eagles. Eat shit, buddy.
They both have Super Bowls. They're pretty sick.
Yeah. Well, Nick Foles, man.
Don't even
tough loss.
Don't bring up Big Dick Nick around me ever again. I got two fucking rules for you. Do you have any fucking Percocets? And don't bring up Big Dick Nick.
Who do you got at number four?
New England Patriots, man. I told you. I don't care. Oh yeah, they lost Deontay Hightower and Patrick Chung. God, I don't give a fuck, bro. I don't give a fuck. Bill Belichick. Did they lose him? Nah, dog. That's the best coach in the NFL. That's the best coach in NFL history. Like, let's get that out of the way. Best defensive coach in NFL history. No questions asked. They have the defensive player of the year? Question mark? Oh, they do. Stephon Gilmore locks down receivers, bro. They force turnovers. They play in a shitty division. You can say what you want about the Bills. They have good defense, but I mean, they make Josh Allen look like a fucking varsity quarterback every time they play him. And they take his head off half the time.
Hey, come on, man. 38.
The first 5 weeks that the Patriots have, like I was saying before, I'm drafting based on who they got at the beginning of the season, all right? Dolphins, Seahawks, who aren't as good offensively as you think. Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos. Yeah, you're not playing them against the Chiefs, but you're playing them against the Broncos, the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Dolphins. Man, I like them. I don't know. I think that they're just going to be solid. They're not going to lose you any weeks. The Patriots aren't going to – they're not going to get – 50 burgered on, you know?
So my problem with the Patriots are that I think they're going to go, because I think these defenses are defenses that you're going to be reaching for. Like, you're going to be drafting all these defenses a little ahead
of where you would want to. You won't have to reach for the Patriots, though. You can get the Patriots in the last round.
So here's my problem with the Patriots. The Patriots used to have, besides last year, Patriots used to have a trend of, like, the first four, maybe 5 weeks, they were just off. Like, their defense just took that, like, it was almost like lagging behind the rest of the team. Like, it just took them a little bit of time to get in the rhythm of things. And I see them going back in that trend, especially with you losing a leader in Dante Hightower. Like, that's a big loss.
Dante Hightower is a big loss.
Yeah.
I had a family, though. Yeah, again, I'm going to bring up the COVID thing. Like, any players that are opting out sucks for our fantasy football. But if I was playing football, I would probably not be playing this season. Like, they are not taking enough health precautions, especially these guys. Like, everybody that's opted out has, oh, I used to have cancer, or I have a newborn child, or my wife is pregnant. Like, man, family over football for fucking sure. Especially the way they're trying to run this football league this year, man. Like, they had all offseason to plan a safety plan, and they just didn't. They just didn't. They had an advantage over every other sports league because they had time. They weren't playing yet. They weren't scheduled to play yet. And then they came out with the most subpar safety plan that's ever been fucking conducted. Speak when spoken to, but that is extremely fucked. I know. The Washington Football Club.
See, my thing is, like, I play a sport where...
That's not the NFL, that's Washington.
Shout out Ryan Shazier. But you play a sport where you could end up paralyzed. COVID is the last of my worries. You know, like, we play football. Fucking let's go, man. That's my I would play if I was in the league. I even the other day I looked at Aaron and I was like, should we start working out again, man? Like, should we try and get in this league? Are we trying to get in these fucking opted out player spots? Bro, let's fucking go. Aaron's a little short for it. I think I could make it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, we have big hearts, but we also have big bodies. Yeah. Right? There's a lot of meat in this
the
room.
Big boys.
We can make a couple of fucking lines, maybe. Jacksonville Jaguars, holler at me. That being said, I do have two knees and three torn ACLs. So
and I don't have either of my shoulders.
I think our playing days ended around grade 12.
We are going so off topic here. My number four spot.
Hurry this fucking up. Nobody cares what the defense is. Let's go.
Buffalo Bills. Let's go. Bills Mafia. Let's go. They play in the worst division in football. Let's get that fucking right out of the way. Sean McDermott.
They play the Pats twice a year, friend.
Okay, sick. Sean McDermott is an excellent defensive coach.
I don't know
coach.
Why I started a podcast the one fucking season the Patriots aren't supposed to be great.
They have a very good safety duo, and they have Tre'Davious White. Strong secondary. And I don't know if you guys knew this, they added Josh Norman in the offseason.
Did they really?
They did. And who knows if Josh Norman is going to be the elite cornerback that he used to be. He had one season of eliteness. Who knows if he goes back to that, but it's something to think about.
Okay, whatever. Let's go. I got five. I got Chicago Bears. I think you have Chicago Bears too, right? Yep. Go Bears.
Khalil Mack. Let's go.
Great defense, terrible offense. Yeah.
Mitch Trubisky. Shout out you.
I've been thinking about moving these guys out of here just because I think there's going to be so many games that the team's just like the offense is so bad that defense got to play so many.
Yeah, that is the problem with them is that they're just going to be on the field so much.
All right.
But okay. That also gives them more opportunities for sacks and interceptions. So, yeah, moving on.
Moving on. We are moving to a segment that we're going to have here. It's called Uppers and Downers. We've all done some uppers and we've all done some downers, if you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying?
Never, not once. I'm on some if the cops are listening.
I'm on some downers. I'm on some downers right now, but I bought my downers legally, bruh. But uppers and downers, in the way we're talking about it, everybody talks about sleepers and busts and breakouts and... Man, I don't want to look at it like that, all right? So uppers are people that we think are going to return more value than their ADP. Just so simple. They're not sleepers, they're not breakouts, they're just not valued where we think they should be valued. And downers are the opposite, okay? People that we think are going to be valued or should be valued worse than they are, they're not going to return the value of what you draft from them at, all right? So we'll start with you, man. Let's start with the uppers. Everybody loves a good upper. Who are your uppers this season?
My first upper is Brandon Cooks. He is drafted so low, right? His ADP is 114 overall, and he's the 38th ranked receiver, wide receiver. Like, he's been gone on every team he's gone to, and every team he's gone to, he's had 1,000-yard seasons. And it's not like he's gone to a team without a quarterback either. We've got Deshaun Watson throwing the ball, and he loves to extend the play and throw that deep ball. That Brandon Cooks, that is literally his specialty. So he's the best receiver on the Texans, in my opinion. I love Brandon Cooks, especially for where he's being drafted.
Okay. I like Brandon Cooks too, but think about it like this, okay? Where did Brandon Cooks start? New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Thomas. Wasn't the number one receiver on the New Orleans. Played really well, but wasn't number one receiver on New Orleans. Then he went to the Pats. They had actually a pretty crowded receiver room when he went there because they had Julian Edelman, they had Gronk, whatever. He could have been the number one receiver, but if he was 1A, B, or C. He wasn't number one. Then he goes to the Rams. Started kind of as their number one, but he's not their number one. They got, again, 1A, 1B, 1C.
Certainly wasn't last year.
Wasn't last year. Now he goes to the Texans. Probably their number one receiver. He's going to be asked to run a full route tree.
It's between him or Will Fuller.
And Will Fuller is legitimately made of fucking glass.
Yeah, he's a band-aid.
Holy shit. Yeah. I love him, but like I can't draft him.
Yeah.
Like he's gonna be injured. So man, like I like Brandon Cooks. He's kind of a good like I know I just used the word I didn't want to use, but he's a good sleeper because you get him for so little
and he's always been consistent other than his rookie year and last season. But he wasn't even fully healthy last season. So, like, that's a bad season to look at.
He doesn't even miss that many games. He has a lot of concussions.
He's had some conkies. All the boys have had some conkies.
That guy is going to for sure pull his teeth out when he's 80 and just be full on fucking nuts. But
yeah. But that's not our problem now.
Not our problem ever, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't meet Brandon
Cooks. I don't know Brandon Cooks, you know? And if I did, I don't know him well.
But I do love Brandon Cooks, though. Yeah. I like him as a guy, as a player. He's solid. I don't know, man. Texans offense just doesn't get me going as much. Like, I like Deshaun Watson, but I don't know. Okay, who's your other upper? Let's get both your uppers.
My upper? Sorry, I wasn't prepared. I thought you were going to go. My other upper is Amari fucking Cooper, and we're both high on this guy.
Talk your shit!
Amari Cooper. He's the best receiver on that juggernaut offense. He is. And he has Dak Prescott throwing him the football, who is playing for a contract. So, like, I love Amari Cooper. He's going to... And he can blow up. The guy is not... He has had 200-yard games in the last two... Both two times in the last two seasons. So, I mean, he's just amazing. And he's being drafted at 32 overall. He's the 10th receiver on the draft board.
I am at six.
High reward. You're getting him for cheap. Draft him.
You guys couldn't see it, but I was pretending to jerk off the whole time.
Yeah, it's distracting.
Amari Cooper gets me.
It was almost as distracting as him actually jerking off in front of me. But yeah.
Been there, done that. You know what I mean? Just once kidding. Whoa, really weird. All right. Those are your uppers. I can't say nothing bad about Amari Cooper, man. Like he plays in a crowded offense, which kind of scares me, but I think it might be a good thing for him if there's a lot of talent around him. I think he's going to really break out. The reason he sucked on the Raiders is because he was the only fucking guy on the team that could catch a football. Yeah.
And name one good defense in this fucking division. Name one. You can't.
The Washington Football Club.
Yeah. The contender for
Washington. That is their name all season, bro. Yeah. Washington Football Team. They sound like a fucking British soccer team. The Washington Football Club. I'm saying that with a British accent all season. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, and it's soccer, not football. Fuck you.
Washington Football Club. Like, what the fuck? And the options they had were not good. They had, like, the Red Tails, which is I know it's to honor, like, the black pilots in World War II. But, like, as, like, an actual name, like, it's not... I don't know. I didn't think it was great.
The Red Tails,
why does it have to be red? Why can't they, like... I don't know. Like, they... Yeah. There's no snakes either. Did you notice that? There's no snakes in, like, any sport. There's no cobras. There's no...
Mamba. R.I.P.
There's no... Yeah, rip Mamba. Yo, 2020, worst year of all time. Started with Kobe Bryant dying.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't actually World War III, but yeah.
Thought about it!
All right, moving on. I'm going to give you guys some uppers. Don't tell your mom. My number one upper, man. Fuck, I love this guy. I could jerk off all over again.
Okay.
Calvin Ridley, dude.
Yeah.
Wow. I am so high on Calvin Ridley this year. He's actually my 11th ranked wide receiver. He's going as wide receiver 20. He had a breakout after Mohamed Sanu left. But that's not the reason I'm super high on him. Third year, guys. Oh, the dog's moving around. She finally made herself known. Yeah. We forgot there's a fourth person in the room, and she is a person, and that's Nova Bean. It's just Nova, but she's a star.
Furniture.
Man, you say a lot about that dog, but she is not furniture. But anyways, what I was going to say is it's his third year, okay? It's Calvin Ridley's third year. And receivers are broke out in their third season. Devontae Adams had 997 and 12 touchdowns. DeAndre Hopkins had 1,521 and 11. Cooper Kupp last season had 1,161 and 10 touchdowns.
My dog.
And Chris Godwin, third season last year, had 1,333 and 9. All four of those guys I just named were not that great before then. They were good, not great. Chris Godwin was not good really at all. Devontae Adams was pretty irrelevant because Jordy Nelson was there. But my point being is, like, third year seems to be the breakout year for pass catchers specifically. All right. Calvin Ridley's a number one talent from Alabama. He's not going to be the number one receiver on the team. I think Matt Ryan's going to throw the ball a lot. And I love Matt Ryan. Okay. They lost Austin Hooper in the offseason. I get they got Hayden Hurst, but there's a lot of targets to be had because Austin Hooper's gone. He's just got high upside, man. He's got first round talent and he's really good. Like, he's just good. All these other guys we're talking about scenarios and stuff. I just think he's in a good scenario. That's beside the point. He has a really easy schedule. The defense, especially the pass defenses in the NFC South, not great. Not great. Panthers are going to be the worst team in the league this year.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah, like it's not
great. I was going to talk about that.
I love Atlanta Falcons, man. And I love Calvin Ridley. He's my first upper. You got anything to say of why he should be my upper?
I am not high. You know this. I am not high on Calvin Ridley. My opinion on him slightly changes if Todd Gurley doesn't play due to COVID. But the thing that you can say about Calvin Ridley is the red zone targets that Julio is not getting.
Yeah,
Calvin Ridley is going to get them. And it could be Hayden Hurst. It could be Calvin Ridley. But, man, before Todd Gurley news came out, I was not high on Calvin Ridley. I might have to change it up a little bit now, but... Julio's there. Julio Jones is there.
I think that he's never gonna get number one. There's no good corners in that division already, and now he's gonna get the second best corner on each of those teams.
I guess.
I don't know. I love.
So
him,
like, you're thinking he has a little Juju situation going on when AB was in the Steelers.
Yeah. When Juju Smith-Schuster was better than AB, but Antonio Brown was obviously more talented.
Yeah.
Man, the same thing happened with Julio Jones too. Man, Julio Jones came in. Roddy White was the number one receiver. I don't know if
you
remember that, but. I mean, it took a couple seasons for him to take him over. And Julio Jones is getting old. I mean, at some point, Julio Jones is going to decline. I don't know if it's this
season. At some point, I don't see it happening. That guy, this is the LeBron James of the NFL. He's just going to keep going.
And Julio, we trust, man. Julio is our boy.
Yep.
Moving forward, gonna throw another upper at you guys. Okay. Jonathan Taylor, man. Let's get into it, all right? Jonathan Taylor's going as the RB23. I think I have him as my RB18. So not a huge, but I keep on moving him up. The only thing that really threw me back was no preseason games this year.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you on that.
That really fucking hurt him, I think. That being said, I think preseason and offseason matters more for rookie receivers than it does for running backs. We've seen Zeke, Saquon, Kamara, Josh Jacobs. Like, we've seen lots of running backs do really good in their rookie season. Jonathan Taylor, so I'm like, okay, what's the big deal with Jonathan Taylor? Let's look into him, okay? This guy had 1,977 yards, 13 touchdowns, zero touchdowns receiving, but he had 2,000 scrimmage yards and 13 touchdowns. I was like, is that good? I don't know. Let's check out Saquon Barkley's stats. His senior year, let's take his sophomore year, which he had more production. He had 1,496, finished with 1,898. Point being, Saquon Barkley had 1,898 scrimmage yards and 22 touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor had 2,072 and 13 touchdowns his freshman season, okay? Jonathan Taylor had 2,000 yards from scrimmage all 3 years he was in college. Yep. That's fucking nuts. I know he played for Wisconsin. They ran the ball a lot. 2,000 yards in three straight. He was 18, and he had 2,000 yards in college football. That's baller fucked.
Alert.
Saquon Barkley didn't have that. But then I was like, you know what, Saquon and him, they're not the same. They're not the same kind of guy. Okay, so let's look up Ezekiel Elliott. What is Ezekiel Elliott's college stats? Solid, not the same. He had 2,027 yards, 23 touchdowns. He had a little bit of a higher yards per carry, offered a little bit more in the receiving game. But in comparing their senior years, Jonathan Taylor had. Computer's going crazy now. Jonathan Taylor had 200 more scrimmage yards, played in two less games. Okay. Jonathan Taylor also had the fastest 40-yard dash in the combine for running backs. 4.3. Ran faster than Ezekiel Elliott and Saquon Barkley. So statistically, he's better.
Yeah.
Combine-wise, he's better. Oh, and now he went to the best offensive line of football behind the Indianapolis Colts. They have the easiest schedule for running backs in all of football. Shout out
Quentin Nelson, by the way.
Quentin Nelson, oh, fuck.
The man. The boys are all a fan of Quentin.
Holy shit.
Julio Jones and Quentin Nelson. The boys are fans.
If I get those two boys in a room, oh, my God. I love both. I love Jonathan Taylor so much. I love Marlon Mack too, but I just think Jonathan Taylor's way better, man. He's going to come in and take that job eventually. Jonathan Taylor, I know he's a rookie. I know it's a COVID offseason. Fucking give me Jonathan Taylor. I love him. I think he's gonna be like a superstar towards the end of the season. He's not going to start the first 3 weeks. He's going to finish the last five. That's for fucking sure.
Yeah. There is something to be said. He has a very easy schedule for running backs.
Does.
And very easy.
And the best offensive line.
The one thing that I'm scared of is committees. Like,
even if he's in a committee, he's under the best offensive line, the best schedule for running backs, and they're going to be a run first team. Like, Marlon Mack's going to have a role no matter what. It just might not.
The question is how big is the role going to be of Nyheim Hines?
Well, he's always going to have the receiving back.
Yeah,
the thing with Marlon Mack that makes it really good is that Marlon Mack cannot catch a football if he was paid billions of dollars to do so. Like, he just can't catch the football.
Yeah.
So he won't take over, like, snaps in the receiving game. And Nyheim Hines is a terrible runner. I don't know. It seems like a recipe for Jonathan Taylor's success.
Yeah, also, I agree. I am high on Jonathan Taylor. Those are my only concerns, is the committee thing. But
everybody's super high on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He ran a 4.61. Jonathan Taylor ran a 4.39. Just saying.
4.61.
4.61, bro. It's
awful.
And he's supposed to be the scat back amazing blah, blah, blah for the Chiefs.
I think I could run a 4.61. When I was six.
You couldn't run a 20-yard dash in 4.61. All right.
What are you laughing at, no hands?
Fuck. Isaiah's got hands like Marlon Mack.
Isaiah's got... like Shaquille Griffin.
All right. DeSean Jackson hates Jews, and Shaquille Griffin has
one arm.
Aiden, give me some downers. I need some downers.
Okay,
right now.
I got you, baby. First downer, and we both agree on this one. DJ Moore plays on a serious contender for the worst football team in the NFL. Yeah. Teddy Bridgewater is his fucking quarterback. The guy wears gloves. He's a quarterback. It's not cold out. He's wearing gloves. What are you
landscaping or throwing some fucking
You're not fucking slinging a shovel, buddy. It's a football. Okay? And when Teddy Bridgewater is throwing the football,
yeah,
he's got fucking Christian McCaffrey.
That's true. I think Christian McCaffrey takes a huge, like,
yeah, yeah, huge chunk out of DJ Moore's. Oh, and then they added Robbie Anderson.
They paid
another receiver. Yeah, and they paid him
a lot.
Oh. They also have Curtis Samuel.
My boy, my darling.
From also team. Another fucking good receiver, yeah, that's good. Gonna take touches away from DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Everyone is so high on DJ Moore. He's the 11th ranked receiver on ESPN Fantasy right now. What is that? Is a joke.
11.
Okay? My predictions for him is that he has a little bit...
He's going to wide receiver one.
Yeah. I think he has a little bit worse of a season than OBJ did last year. OBJ had a little over 1,000 yards, yeah, and 4 touchdowns. Yeah. I think he goes under 1,000 yards, maybe 3 to 4 touchdowns.
Okay, I'd rather have OBJ than DJ Moore.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
You also forgot to mention one last thing about DJ Moore, man. He's got a brand new coaching staff, yeah, a brand new quarterback in COVID offseason.
Yeah.
Not good.
And they're not going to be throwing the fucking football.
And Teddy Bridgewater, yeah, everybody's regarding him as like the next coming of Patty Mahomes or something. Because he wins like 4 games for the Saints.
Wears gloves.
And he wore gloves. he's played for one of the best offenses in the NFL when he took over for Drew Brees when he was injured, and didn't have a lot of yards. Didn't play like amazing. Just won games. Like, I get that that's most important, but that's not what's most important for fantasy football, man. I'm looking for more points than DJ Moore is gonna get.
Also, there's somebody. Their new head coach is not an offensive guy.
No,
he is not. No. His entire resume before college, being a head coach, yeah, his entire resume before being a head coach in college has either been linebacker, D-line, O-line.
Really?
Yeah, so he is not an offensive guy.
Great.
He's not going to provide much of that offense.
Their new head coach and offensive coordinator, neither of them have any like NFL head coaching experience or serious play calling experience.
It's not good. Moore and the Panthers scare the shit out of me.
Honest to God, except for Christian McCaffrey, because I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to throw. I think he's locked in as a number one or two guy. The rest of them, I'm staying away from.
Yeah.
Okay, talk your shit. Who's your other downer?
Bold pick for another downer here. Everyone is high on this guy. Everyone except for me, it seems. Austin Eckler. He is Tyrod Taylor.
I'd like to say I have not bought a ticket for the Austin Eckler hype train either. So yeah. I'm in your boat.
So Tyrod Taylor is his QB. Meh. Meh. And Austin Eckler isn't, especially last year. I don't know about the year before. I didn't look into it. But he's not a rushing guy. His value comes from receiving. He had like 400 yards rushing last year, and like I think he had just under 1,000 yards receiving. But that's with Philip Rivers. Almost 1,000 yards receiving with Philip Rivers. So Austin Eckler, like, everyone's so high on him. Like, we like to suck Matt Berry's dick around here, but fuck Matt Berry. Austin Eckler has a huge chance of being an RB2, low RB2, or maybe an RB3.
Austin Eckler benefited from Melvin Gordon more than anybody we'd like to give him credit for. Like, he's not going to be a good RB1. I just don't love him as a 3-down back. If I'm drafting a guy in the first three rounds, I'd rather have a guy that's not going to leave the field, or at least not leave the field often, you know?
I'd much rather take a chance on Nick Chubb. I know Kareem Hunt's there, but like
Josh Jacobs,
Joe Mixon. I love Joe Mixon.
Yeah, give me all those guys. Austin Eckler, man. Yeah. I don't know. In the quarterback situation, he's a pass catching back. Although Tyrod Taylor, like, a pass catching back does usually benefit conservative guys like Tyrod Taylor, Justin Herbert might be.
Yeah,
but I'm not high on Eckler either. All right, I got some downers for you guys. This one's gonna it's really gonna piss some people off, man. I want nothing to fucking do with DeAndre Hopkins. You guys all saw it. When I did my wide receivers, he wasn't even in my top 5. I had Kenny Golladay up there. And you know what? He's not even in my top 6 because I have Amari Cooper number 6. I got DeAndre Hopkins number 7. And I'm not mad at it. Right now, he's going at ESPN wide receiver 2. What? He had 11 fantasy points per game last season. He had a bit of a down year. Still had over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's changing offenses. He's changing to Kyler Murray. Everything's, Kyler Murray's going to be amazing. Kyler Murray's going to be amazing. If Kyler Murray's not amazing, doesn't take a major step forward, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to be as valuable as he was in previous in this
Kyler career. Murray could be the Baker Mayfield this year. Like
easily. Or Kyler Murray could be amazing because he gets all these points on the ground but doesn't do fuck all in the air. Yep. Which is what we noticed in the first like five games. I don't think he had a passing touchdown until like week five or six last season.
Yeah.
Like I know we've said it before, but COVID, I don't want anything to do with a team, the players switching teams, with the players switching quarterbacks, with the players switching coaching staffs in COVID offseason. And that includes DeAndre Hopkins, especially at his draft price, man. Wide receiver two, you're taking Hopkins over Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Julio Jones. What the fuck are you smoking? One of these downers, clearly. That's fucked. I want nothing to do with him. He's still a top 10 receiver. He's just not going to have the value that you're getting it for him. My other downer, you got anything to say about that? I think I just took over. You like Hopkins? You don't like Hopkins?
I like Hopkins just because you can't deny the man's talent, and he doesn't miss games. So I love Hopkins. I think he's missed two games his entire career. I think he was drafted in 2013. That's a big thing, and I love Kyler Murray, but I agree with you. It hurts Hopkins. At the very least, it's going to take him a couple weeks to get in the rhythm of things. Like, maybe it doesn't, of course, but but Hopkins doesn't drop balls. I like Hopkins, and I think you like Hopkins too. I just don't think that you like Hopkins as your top five guys, right? You're just not. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I definitely think it's a joke that you're drafting him at two.
Number two receiver, fuck, in the first round. Stop it. My next downer, Raheem Mostert. All right. He's going as RB28, and I think it's actually climbing since he's re-signed or restructured his contract. This guy was not good until fantasy playoffs last year, real playoffs last year. Like, he played in the committee, they went with the hot hand, he got hot for playoffs, they rode it. It is what it is. He played really well. I'm not going to take anything from him. He's, like, a legend in San Francisco for what he could do in those couple games there, but, like, I'm not taking a running back at RB28 that is no matter what playing in a committee. Even if Raheem Mostert comes there and is amazing, they're still going to sprinkle in the other guys.
Yep.
He doesn't do fuck all in the receiving game. So like he doesn't set himself apart from the other guys. Jerick McKinnon and Tevin Coleman both could be more talented than him. There's a reason Raheem Mostert's been dropped by 32 teams in the NFL or whatever the fucking stat is. Like,
I do think Tevin Coleman is more talented than him, but
I think both of them are. Jerick McKinnon was really good when he played fucking
I like Jerick McKinnon, but he's a fucking Band-Aid.
There's too many running backs. There's not enough upside and not enough of a floor to be getting him at RB28. It makes me sick to my stomach. People are trying to be on his bandwagon. I'll eat my words if he's not good, but fuck him.
I agree.
Fuck him. So I'm down on Raheem Mostert.
I agree with that. There has been in the past, even with one of the people that you just named, Jerick McKinnon, used to be part of a committee that had top 20 running backs with the Vikings.
Peterson and Jerick McKinnon?
No, it wasn't. Latavius Murray and somebody else. I can't remember who the third guy was. But yeah, a committee scares me. The only thing to be said about them is he's put, again, an elite offensive line.
Okay, like, I mean.
And their quarterback should not have been on the top 100 list. Get the fuck out of here, pretty boy.
If there was...
You suck at QB.
The thing about the San Francisco running back, if the San Francisco running back was one person, they'd be a top five pick. But they're not. They're like five different guys.
Yeah.
So they all take away from each other's value. Yeah. All right, moving forward. We're coming closing the end of the show here. We're gonna do our top five. Since it's the top five episode, okay? We're going to do our top five heartbreaks. Now, these aren't girls that dumped us in high school. These are our players that we drafted in the first couple of rounds that really fucked us. And, you know, Isaiah had one bit of homework to do, and he couldn't even come up with his top five list. The guy came up with two. With two. Aiden and I played on the line. You'd think we'd have more CTE than Isaiah. But this guy can only even fucking remember two guys that he's drafted that didn't do well. Well, let's start with you then, all right? Who's your two guys?
My first person that I drafted that was my biggest heartbreak would be Saquon Barkley last year. He only ended up missing three games, but it wasn't the repeat performance that he had in 2018. He had about 40 less attempts, about 300 less yards, injured as hell. Like, it's injury after injury. He didn't come back and make the return that everybody was kind of hoping for. So that was definitely a big bummer.
Big bummer.
Who's your other guy?
My other guy would probably be Matt Breida. just because that season. Matt Breida.
What? Would you draft him in your fucking 10th round?
Yeah, probably. But at the time, I was out of options, and I needed him to perform.
Matt Breida was good the year he was talking about.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be good.
And there was one, and then I see you're saying a specific instance when you're supposed to play him. And,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, this is a single game thing here he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm talking about single game because
Who was that game against? Me.
Yeah. I played Ignite in a week. Wasn't fun. That's exactly what I needed him to do, is to play good for me, but da-da-da! Raheem Mostert out of fucking nowhere.
Fuck Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, before he was known by anybody.
Oh, and to make it worse, it was never reported that Raheem Mostert was going to start. Every single fantasy outlet was telling you, Breida's your guy for this week. Start him. He's going to get the yards. I don't think he played once.
That's why you listen to Fourth
and Long. He did get a single. I remember this.
He didn't have one carry. He did not have one carry.
We had gone to Wing Night. It was a Thursday night football game. And Isaiah was like, he needed maybe 2 points to beat me. And Matt Breida didn't get a single touch. Get fucked, buddy guy.
Is it good? Is my mic working good now? We all right? Saying Matt Breida is a fantasy heartbreak is like saying you're heartbroken from a Tinder fuck. I can't even believe that's what you came up with. You had two answers and one of them sucked. Moving forward. All right, my top five heartbreaks. I'll make it quick for you. Number five, 2013. I think it was my second year playing fantasy. Doug Martin, his rookie year, he was fucking amazing, okay? I think he had like 1,500 all-purpose yards and like 14 touchdowns or something. I'm like, I don't know how to play fantasy, but this guy seems good. He's my fourth overall pick. He sucked and then got injured. So I played him for 5 weeks. He had, or 6 weeks, 450 yards and one touchdown in 6 weeks. Then got injured. That was my first round pick, third overall, or fourth overall. So that one hurt, but not as bad as this one. 2016 DeAndre Hopkins. This one almost had my number one vote for biggest heartbreak because I drafted him in the first round. He didn't even get injured. He just fucking sucked. Like I said before, I'd rather you get injured so I know I can't play you. When you suck, I think you're going to be good every year, every week, especially when I draft you in the first fucking round. He played all 16 games, had 954 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's really bad. That's really bad. So, yeah, that's my number four. My number three, 2017 David Johnson.
Nice wrist, buddy.
Third overall pick. And he got 11 rushes in before breaking his hand. In the first game, 2,000 yards and 20 touchdowns the season before. Did not replicate. Was injured. Number two, it's actually two players. In 2017, I went back-to-back. I drafted OBJ and Dez Bryant. And in a different league, obviously, because I had I'm playing multiple fantasy leagues. In 2017, I had David Johnson. Ooh, and
whoa, this guy.
In a different league, I had OBJ and Dez Bryant, who fucked me equally as hard. OBJ, only season in his career, he didn't have 1,000 yards because he didn't play. He was injured.
Broke his leg.
Yeah. Idiot. Yeah, and Dez Bryant, who I was a big fan of, just played so bad he didn't earn a chance to play again in the NFL. So, I wanted OBJ so fucking bad. And I wanted Dez Bryant really bad. I learned two lessons that day. Don't draft receiver in the first two rounds. You will regret it. And don't draft based on players you like. You will also regret it. And then my number one, it's not even me. And there's a lot of people that felt this one, this fantasy heartbreak. And this is big.
I know where you're going with this already.
This is a big shout out to my boy Nathan Carter, okay? He was unanimously the number one or number two overall pick. It was either him or Todd Gurley. Our friend Isaiah to the right here got Todd Gurley that year. Drafted him number one, Le'Veon Bell, 2018. Didn't play a single snap.
Not once.
Wasn't injured. Yep. Just wanted some more money. Really pissed some people off. Didn't play a single snap. Broke some people's hearts, specifically Nathan's. That year, he actually also drafted Kawhi Leonard in basketball.
who also sat up pretty much the whole season.
Tough 2018 for Nathan Carter.
By the way, both number one overall picks. Kawhi Leonard wasn't number one.
He was the number one overall pick.
That was the year. The Spurs, baby.
No. Nathan, you earned some time on the podcast. Sorry, buddy. Aiden, who's your top five heartbreaks?
Yeah, I got these guys in no particular order. Last year, 2019, I drafted fucking Odell Beckham Jr. Because I was like, oh, this guy's going to be amazing with this rookie who just threw 27 fucking touchdowns. Hey, not yeah, quite. Guess what? Little over 1,000 yards, 1,035 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And he played a lot of the games. I actually don't know if he played all the games.
I think he played 15.
Yeah, so, hey, thanks for fucking me, buddy guy. But I will say this, still high on him this year. I have hope in you.
Yeah.
Let's go, big guy.
I think it's just a down year. For the whole offense, honestly.
Again, last year, same leak. Super high on this motherfucker, Damian Williams. Okay? Draft Damian Williams super high. I think maybe 2 hours after we had our draft, the Chiefs pick up LeSean McCoy. Okay, sick. Damian Williams, 498 yards, 5 touchdowns. He's on the Kansas City Chiefs. Are you fucking with me? It's a joke. It's a joke. Next one, also last year, Alvin Kamara. Didn't draft him, but I traded half my team for him. And then he had one game, and this is half point PPR. He had, I think, 32 points or more, and then nothing. It was like, fucking guy's legs broke. I don't know what happened to him, but he wasn't playing football.
He knew he was on your team. He was like, I just don't have the same motivation to come
up. Yeah, this fucking guy. I guess his nose piercing got fucking infected. He couldn't play. I don't know what happened. Next one, Kenyon Drake in 2018. He was the 11th overall ranked player. Everyone was high on him. And I was an idiot. And I didn't study at all. And he had 535 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Did he play all season?
Oh, yeah, baby.
That's nuts.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing about him. I drafted him high. But also, going back to our friend Vince...
Vance. If you remember, he's not very good at fantasy football.
He drafted OBJ that year, who was not having a good first few weeks, let me tell you. And I had drafted Kenyon Drake and Juju Smith-Schuster. And I traded Kenyon Drake and Juju Smith-Schuster for OBJ. And as soon as he traded me OBJ had 2 touchdowns and a passing touchdown in the same game. And he was a top 5 receiver for the rest of the season. Thanks, Vince. Shout out to you. Last one. And this guy is so blacklisted, it's not even fucking funny. Eat shit, AJ Green. 2018, you were having an incredible season. 694 yards, 6 touchdowns. Half those touchdowns against the Baltimore Ravens in one game. Suck a dick.
Boo-hoo.
Okay? Band-aid of a player. Can't stay healthy. I also last year traded a few players to my good friend Aaron for AJ Green because he was supposed to come back. Didn't come back.
Big trade, boys.
Didn't come back. I can't remember what the trade was, but I would rather have had my 2 players. So, yeah, those are my heartbreakers.
Heartbroken.
Yeah, I have big heartbreaks.
All right, well, it's going to come to an end to episode 1 of Fourth and Wrong. Yeah. Man, my balls are tingling.
It's so fucking hot in here, I must say that.
Maybe that's why my balls are tingling.
We're in Canada. It's 30 degrees today. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit because I'm civilized. But
it's fucking hot in here.
Yeah, it's fucking hot in here. The dog's dead, I think.
It's a hot dog. All right.
Hot dog.
Thanks for listening, boys, girls, and everything in between. Woo! It's good Genesis. You guys feeling good?
Yeah, feeling great.
Right on. So woo.
So whoop.
So whoop. All right, till next episode. I think we're going to do wide receivers next episode, so stay tuned and stay saucy, baby.
Hell yeah.